But church, great to be here tonight. We're in the middle of a sermon series entitled God's Gifts. Now kids, raise your hand. Are you excited when you receive gifts? When someone gives a gift to you, raise your hand. Are you excited about that? I am. Okay, and I'm a kid. Okay, now adults. Adults, are you excited when you receive gifts? Yes. Okay. Now kids, are you excited when you give gifts? Okay, good kids. Adults, same question for you. There you go. All right, we're 100% tonight. And so let me show you this. Kids, if you consider yourself a kid or if you are a kid, I've got a little present for you contained inside this larger present tonight after the service. Is that okay? As long as everyone behaves, everyone amens at the appropriate time. Amen. Amen. And so, kids, would it be silly that if you received a gift and you either were told not to unwrap it or you just didn't unwrap it? So someone comes up to you and says, here's a gift, here's a present, it's yours, but don't unwrap it. And so you get the gift, but you never see what's inside. You never can use the gift. You never can appreciate the gift. You never can embrace the gift because you never received it and unwrapped it. You know, it's silly, but that happens spiritually all the time, doesn't it? God gives us so many gifts that we either never receive, or we receive, but maybe we don't unwrap it. Maybe we unwrap it, we don't apply it. And so we've been talking about receiving and applying and unwrapping God's gifts over the past couple of weeks. God's gift of unconditional love, His love, as demonstrated on the cross. God's gift of joy, the depth of joy that is not based on circumstance. It's not happiness. We're not talking about that. We're talking about joy that's based on faith in Jesus. And it wasn't last week awesome. Can we give one more hand to Diane and the team? Last week's Christmas special. As it was kind of all put together, including God's gift of peace. And so what we're going to do tonight, and yes, tomorrow morning, I can't believe it, but we are having church tomorrow morning. You know, and I love that. I love that we are. I just started thinking about this. Not that I've ever done this before, or maybe I wouldn't do it. But any day that Christmas falls on, I don't care if it's a Tuesday, we probably should have church. Yeah. There you go. Someone's getting a present after this. You know, so I'm proud of this church saying, let's have church Christmas Eve. Let's have church on Christmas. And I think that that speaks to the community. I think it helps speak volumes, kind of see both sides as churches decide whether they should have it or not. But I do think it's a very positive thing for us and the community to see that, yes, we're gathering as we celebrate the day of His birth. And so tonight we're kind of talking about God's gift, Jesus Himself. Part one tonight, part two tomorrow morning. And tonight we're really talking about the anticipation of God's gift. Anticipating the one. God's gift of Jesus. We're going to be reading from Isaiah 7 verse 14. And then we'll read a little bit more than Dwight did. Isaiah 9. 6 and 7. But I want to ask you a question. I want you to think about this. Have you ever anticipated something or anticipated an event? You think about it. You know, what event in your life caused great anticipation? Or what gift or thing did you receive at some point that you could not wait to receive? Once you received that, or once you came up to the big event, whatever it may be, there's all this anticipation, and then you arrived to the moment. Did that moment live up to the expectation? Did it surpass your expectations? Did it fall short of the expectations? Kids, think about how much you look forward to your birthday. In fact, let's just keep it real. Adults, think about how much we look forward to our birthdays. And we wait an entire year, and we anticipate, and we look forward to, and we can't wait. And we drop hints on what we want, and it still happens with us as adults. We drop strong hints. This is what I want. And so we wait the entire year. We invite friends. We plan the day. We plan the moment. And finally, that day, our birthday, that moment arrives. The anticipation of a birthday. Think back to your wedding day. Think back to your wedding day. And, you know, you plan for months and months for that wedding day. And there's all kinds of plans and all kinds of discussions and all kinds of invitations and all kinds of waiting and waiting and waiting. And finally the day arrives. And I think I speak for all of us, if you've been married and experienced a wedding day, that when you finally arrive to that
feels like a dream. I mean, you're going through the day, the moment you've been looking forward to for so long, and as you're literally going through it, are we really doing this? It feels like a dream. But finally, the vows happen, and the moment happens, and you become husband and wife, and that moment arrives. And then there's such excitement. But I want you to think about the anticipation leading up to that big day. What about, I mean, let's just talk about it, a big game. Some of us in the room like to watch a little football, and others may like a little something else. I'm talking about American football. Now, you look forward to that game. Some look forward to the championship game. Others of us that our team is not in the championship game, we don't look forward to that game. We look forward to the next ball game or whatever, and we invite our friends. We talk about it with our friends. On game day, we're putting on our team jerseys. We tailgate, and then the game begins, and we experience that moment. But again, I want to focus on the anticipation of that big day. What about anticipation of a big day at school or maybe at work? And so I've been thinking about this whole anticipation thing. And I've been thinking about the anticipation of everyone waiting for the big, gigantic, world-changing gift of the Messiah. Think about the anticipation. I mean, what was the anticipation? What must have been like, if you think about it, between 2,000 and 2,700 years ago, between 500 and 700 years, where you have predictions and prophecies about the Anointed One coming, about the Messiah coming, about the Savior coming. What was the anticipation like when Isaiah voiced this in chapter 7, verse 14? Therefore, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. And if we flip to chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, Dwight, what you read for us, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And so think about the anticipation of the fulfillment of these prophecies that would occur hundreds of years later. Now, normally, the word, or usually the word sign, when Isaiah would say, or a prophet would say, this is going to be a sign, it would happen within a couple of years. Almost in the immediate, when you talk about years. This didn't happen in the immediate. You're talking about over centuries later, the sign happens. The fulfillment of the prophecy occurs. And so, what was it like to be Isaiah or the others, as Isaiah spoke this, as others heard this, to wait and wait and wait and anticipate and anticipate and anticipate? If we get excited about our birthdays, which we do, and excited about the big game, which we do, what level of excitement would we experience if we were waiting on the anticipated one, the Messiah, the great one, the Son of God? And so, really, though, it was even longer than 500 to 700 years. Follow me here. The anticipation was longer than that. Why? Well, because the gospel root is actually traced back to Noah. And even further, but let's just stay on Noah for a second. The Noahic covenant, when God says this to Noah and his sons that were with him in verse 9 of Genesis chapter 9, I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, all those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth. And then verse 11, I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. Now, Jesus was in mind here. The gospel seed was planted and alive here, but not ready to be fully realized yet. That would be hundreds and hundreds of years later. And the gospel seed passes then from Noah and then right through Abraham. And you see it in the Abrahamic covenant when God says this in Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. God says, I will make you, Abraham, into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Abraham and Sarah had to wait on God's perfect timing, didn't they? They had to wait, and they had to wait, and they had to wait to see the fulfillment of the calling here. And while they were waiting on God, God continued to remind Abraham of his calling. And then God promised him a son. And while they were waiting and waiting, God was at work. While we are waiting, while you're waiting in your life, God is at work. And sometimes we forget that. We're waiting and we're waiting and we're waiting. And we're anticipating and anticipating. We're saying, God, where are you? Where's the moment? Where's the moment where you're going to come through? You're going to provide. You're going to reveal yourself. Listen, we know this. God's at work. Even if we don't initially see it with our own eyes. As Abraham and Sarah are waiting, God's at work. And then we see his moment about to happen when God changes Abram's name to Abraham, which it moves from exalted father to the father of many nations, as his name now reflected his calling. And while they continue to wait, and as doubt creeps in, you have that God begins to get real specific with them. God doesn't just say, you're going to have a son now. Now he's saying, you're going to have a son, and his name will be Isaac. Now he's given the son that hasn't arrived yet, that's being anticipated, but being waited on for a few years to say, I'm going to give him a name. It hasn't happened yet, but I'm already going to name him. And then God says, Isaac will be born. Now he gives a time frame, within a year. Within a year, before this date next year, you have a son named Isaac. And then it happens. Isaac was born, and the gospel seed was very much alive from Noah through Abraham and Isaac. And then we get to the Davidic covenant, when the gospel seed passes right through David. And this is very important, and we're going to tie this in a second. Very important that the gospel seed was passing through these generations. 2 Samuel chapter 7, beginning in verse 11. The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Let me skip down to 16. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. Now, from our human perspective, we're kind of like Abraham at some point and asking God when. Or David maybe at some point and saying, God, okay, I got it, but when? It seems like you're communicating something bigger than what I'm trying to understand. When is the Messiah going to arrive? When is this wonderful counselor going to be here? Now it's been hundreds and hundreds of years. God, when is your moment going to happen? When is the Prince of Peace going to arrive? There may have been doubt from the human perspective. I'm sure somewhere there was a lot of doubt going, okay, this has been predicted. Usually sign means it's supposed to happen in a couple of years, but now we're talking hundreds of years. God, where are you? So from the human perspective, there was doubt, but never from God's perspective. Never, never a doubt. Looking through the lens of our sovereign God, as the gospel seed was passing through the generations, the gospel seed is moving through generations strong and without doubt and without hesitancy. And now we fast forward to Matthew. Okay, we fast forward to Matthew in the gospels, and when he wrote his gospel, he knew that tying in the gospel seed all the way back to Abraham would be very important, that he needed to connect with this Jewish audience, this gospel seed that didn't just pop up right now. It's been passing through generation after generation after generation. That the one we've been waiting for, the one with all the anticipation that he's about to come, and he ties it in. About to be realized. And so when we look at the Christmas story, many times we'll start in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. And if you want to flip there, you'll see with me, when we, Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. And Matthew records this. It says, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. So this is how the story unfolded. This is how it happened. Now, but if we skip the 17 verses before this, we miss a whole lot of anticipation. We miss a whole lot of what God was doing through His love letter to us, through His entire Bible. And so we've got to go back and we've got to see what Matthew was doing here. Matthew, we see in the first 17 verses of chapter 1 of his gospel, he follows the gospel seed through every generation, beginning with Abraham, all the way to Jesus, the anticipated one, the gift of Jesus being born. Jesus, before he records, or just before he records, Matthew records the birth of Jesus in 1:18. He says this in verse 17. You'll see it. Thus, there were 14 generations in all from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and then 14 more generations from the exile to the Messiah. You see, in the first 16 verses, you'll see it in your Bibles, Matthew reviews the anticipation of the big moment that was about to happen. He does all that. So we start in verse 18. We quickly move by the anticipation that's been going on for hundreds of years. But it's kind of like us to rush moments, isn't it? It's just kind of like us, especially in our culture today, that to where we don't have time to read the first 17 verses. Let's just start at Matthew 1:18. Let's read the story. Let's get on with it. We got to open the presents, or we got to go do this. We got to go do that. Let's don't spend time contemplating the anticipation of what it must have been like to be Abraham or Isaiah or these that were alive here, anticipating the birth of this Savior. We may say, let's just get right to it. Because we got to run, we got to go. Let's just start in verse 18. But it's like this. I can picture Matthew saying, I'm going to write this in such a way where I'm saying, no way, reader. No way, audience, at University Baptist Church, 2,000 years later, I'm not going to let you skip right to verse 18. So therefore, I'm going to go through every generation. Do you think that might have been annoying for Matthew, maybe just a little bit? You mean, God, you want me to write down every single generation, 14 times 3, what is that? 42 generations? 42 generations, God, you were right. Yes, I do. I want them to make a connection of the anticipation of my son. And what this is not just some cheap deal here. This is something I've been planning all along. I believe we have a God who has a plan A, not a plan A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, all the way to Z. Because that would mean that God messes up. God's a perfect God with a perfect plan. We may not understand His plan A, but He has plan A from the beginning. And He's had gospel seed in mind all the way from the beginning. And so Matthew says, I'm not going to let you miss all the moments leading up to the moment. He says, sit back. I want you to watch our sovereign God's gospel seed, the gospel seed of His Son, Jesus Christ, confidently move through 42 generations. He says, I want you to remember all the prophecies foretold. Don't skip past it, America. Don't run past it. Slow down. I want you to see all the generations that the gospel seed passed through. And then like Matthew, we must try to capture all this anticipation. That's kind of my goal for myself tonight. I don't want to miss the anticipation of the big moment. And so let's, as a church, fight to the urge to just rush through it. Let's fight the temptation to cut part of the story out. This is part of the Christmas story. But you got to go back 42 generations. It's not time to rush past all the anticipation. So before we celebrate the birth of this baby boy that literally changed history, the one that changed everything, let's pause and let's embrace the anticipation of the moment. But if we go to Luke now, Luke's recordings of the story, before Luke records the birth of Jesus, he makes sure to cover the anticipation as well. The prophecies following the record of the birth of Jesus, Luke thoroughly follows the gospel seed, not just back to Abraham, he goes all the way back, not just to Adam, he goes all the way back to God the Father. He says the gospel seed in the Christmas story started all the way back in the beginning of time. Oh, the anticipation. And tomorrow morning, we're going to unwrap all kinds of gifts. It's going to be so fun. Who's excited? You're excited about Christmas morning. It's coming in a couple of hours. You're going to be there. Remember that as a kid, adult? I mean, just that feeling of Christmas morning is matchless. Unbelievable. So excited. And so as we experience this unique time of giving gifts and receiving gifts and family time that's really unique, we're watching the smiles on everyone's faces. And in the middle of all this, I want us to be reminded of the gift of Jesus. I want us to be reminded of the great anticipation of God's gift to us in Jesus and that baby boy. That he was and he still is and always will be a game changer. He changed everything. The predicted one changed everything. And so the moment that the scripture was fulfilled and eternal salvation was provided for in Jesus, the light of the world was about to be born. But we're right at that moment